Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, an estimated 181,500 veterans that are incarcerated in prisons and jails, according to the Justice Department Bureau of Justice Statistics. That figure shows, though, a 9% drop from 206,000 veterans locked up in 2004. As of April 2017, Florida has now 30 veteran courts in operation. And data from 2016 shows that Florida's veteran courts admitted 1,090 participants, but graduated 640. That shows a great success. But there are thousands of veterans who currently are experiencing legal problems due to suffering from behavioral, mental health issues, or substance abuse disorders. But the alternative to traditional court settings is Veterans Court. And today, from the 17th Judicial Circuit Court, Criminal Division in Broward County, Florida, we're very pleased to have the Honorable Judge Edward Merrigan. And today, Judge Merrigan is going to be talking about and educating us regarding Veterans Court. Also, I'd like to introduce and welcome our legal panel host. First of all, good afternoon, Gary Singer, who is board certified in real estate and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel.
How you doing, Phil?
We're doing good. And also Michael Santucci, who's an intellectual property law attorney, litigator, who also co-chairs the intellectual property law section for the Broward County Bar. Good afternoon, Mike.
How are you, everyone?
I made it shorter, Mike. There's so many cases for you to talk about. You said presidents, and I just didn't want to take the time away from the judge.
We only have 30 minutes, so
and,
thanks.
It's true.
Thank you.
And criminal attorney, it's not criminal that he is an attorney, Gary Ostro, a nationally known criminal defense attorney with over 500 trials to his credit. Gary focuses his practice on the Fourth Amendment rights regarding illegal search and seizure. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hey, Phil, good to be here.
Actually, before we begin, as our audience now is aware, O.J. Simpson was granted parole, and he'll be coming back to Florida in October. But an interesting article at the same time reached my desk regarding F. Lee Bailey, who's now broke, disbarred, and he's working above a hair salon.
What happened to him?
You know, it's just amazing to me.
When I was in college, he was it.
Yeah.
You know, he was the attorney in the country.
He was it way before that. If you remember the Sam Shepard case, the guy who murdered his family or was convicted of it, and it was reversed. But he got prosecuted for grand theft. He had gotten stock from a client, and he was supposed to hold it in trust, and he stole it and sold it and just violated all the ethical bar considerations, was disbarred, and I think they prosecuted him as well, but he lost his bar license.
There's got to be more to that story, huh?
That's pretty much the basic story. I mean, the guy really went out with pretty bad.
The money, I guess.
Well, the bigger you are, the harder you fall.
No one's
above the law. You know, I'd like to welcome the Honorable Judge Edward Merrigan. Good afternoon, Judge.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
You know, Judge, this is a great program. And the program itself now is, I guess it's going on the five-year anniversary here.
That's correct. We celebrated our fifth-year anniversary in May, so we've been in operation for 5 years now.
Well, I'm going to start the first line of questioning. How do you identify defendants who are veterans and potentially eligible for veterans court?
Well, typically when they're arrested and they're in process, the sheriff's office does a really outstanding job of identifying people who are veterans. And as a matter of fact, on our Broward sheriff's intake sheets, they actually have a box to be marked as a whether or not they're a veteran. So when they come into the system, the public defenders or the private defense lawyers can see through that intake sheet whether or not they're veterans. So, you know, as we've been, as I stated earlier, we've been in operation for 5 years. So as the word has been out through the public defender's office and the private defense bar, so a lot of them know that if they get a veteran and they're not accused of what we call a forcible felony, there are 16 felonies that people are not eligible to come into veterans court for. And, you know, they're delineated in the statute, and you can imagine those types of, you know, the homicides and arsons and those types of crimes, carjacking, armed robbery. So they would not be eligible. But pretty much anything other than those 16 forcible felonies, if the individual veteran is charged with a crime, whether it's a felony or a misdemeanor, and they're an honorably discharged veteran, they are eligible for veterans court.
And at what point, Your Honor, does the you said it's the sheriff's office initially checks the form and on the intake.
Correct.
To determine whether the person's a veteran. Who determines whether they're charged as a veteran to put them into veterans court? Is that the state attorney's office then?
Well, no. What happens is that they're charged like any other, you know, allegation and probable cause. They go to the first appearance judge, and then they're sent to a division judge. So the decision to transfer them to veterans court isn't made until they're assigned to a division.
Okay.
Because, you know, what we want to avoid, there are speedy trial issues. And so one of the first requirements before the transfer occurs is to make sure that they waive that speedy trial requirement, and then they're transferred into the veterans court.
Speedy trial is the Sixth Amendment?
No, it's a state statute. It's a state statute that requires somebody that's charged with a crime to be brought to trial within 175 days of their arrest. So the Veterans Treatment Court is a diversionary court, so it's going to take longer than 175 days. So we want to make sure that requirement is waived by the individual veteran.
Understood.
Judge, do you find it that there's veterans that are eligible for it but don't want to participate?
There are. You know, if people feel like they, you know, they were wrongly accused, and, you know, or if their lawyers feel that they have a good Fourth Amendment issue, that they can get the charges knocked out, that there are people that opt out. It's a total voluntary program. If you want to fight the charges against you, you stay in your normal division and go forward. And I've actually had veterans that have come into my division, and the first time I meet with them in open court, you know, this didn't happen. I'm going to fight this to the end. I'm like, well, you're in the wrong court,
right?
You know, so.
No, it's diversionary, basically.
Correct. Just like mental health or drug court.
I got a question. Does somebody's criminal history become relevant if they're a convicted felon or if they have prior convictions for violent crimes? Does that make them ineligible?
It does not. It does not. And I've had a number of cases, you know, with people with long criminal backgrounds, and they're still eligible. So,
but when you say 16 enumerated offenses that are not eligible, I'm thinking homicide, kidnapping, manslaughter, maybe.
The sex bats, the arsons, right. The carjackings,
okay.
The armed robberies, those types
first degree felonies, it sounds like.
Pretty much, yes.
Trafficking,
sir.
Drug trafficking?
You know what? I do get drug trafficking cases.
Do you?
Yes.
How do you get around the min-mans in diversion?
They're admitted into the program. If they successfully complete, then the charges against them will be dismissed.
Trafficking?
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's news to me.
Yes.
Now, as I reported at the opening, 1,090 participants in 2016 and 640 graduated. And what I want the audience to understand, with an average incarceration of $40,000 per inmate per year, that's over $25 million that doesn't have to be spent. I mean, it's a program that makes sense and works.
Judge, that's a great numbers, obviously, to have that kind of passage rate. But why do the people that don't pass, why do they fail?
Typically, the people that don't pass through the program are people that consistently don't participate. So if and believe me, it's not just a one-time deal where I only give them one shot at the program. A lot of the people, all of this, the veterans that are participating in the program are suffering from mental health or substance abuse issues, and that's not a quick fix. Sure. Type of scenario. They're going to be kind of bumps in the road. There are people that have decided that by their actions that they're not going to participate, they're not willing to even try, and those are typically the people that get sent back to their original divisions.
Do you find that there's more of the veterans that are coming through are dealing with issues from combat and combat-related stress, or is it just more of a general plethora of issues?
No, it's a plethora of issues. There, we do certainly have people that are suffering from PTSD, and they're self-medicating that with illegal narcotics, and that's what kind of brings them into the criminal justice system. We have other people that are suffering from mental health issues that may or may not be combat-related, or may not even be service-connected.
Judge, not to take away from the veterans and how they serve this country, but if there's a veteran, and like Gary Singer raised the issue of non-combat, plenty of people suffer from post-traumatic stress that's not combat-related that aren't veterans, that don't get the benefits correct. That a veteran would get in a drug trafficking case, for example, when they're an correct. Addict. How do they reconcile that? I mean, I know that's not a question for you, or it is right now, but you want to try to respond to that, or?
Well, no. I think the thought process behind the whole court is that these people have served our country. They served our country honorably. You know, then subsequent to that service, it is open to people that are on active duty. We're going to give them an opportunity to get access to treatment through the VA to help them deal with these issues. So it's kind of a privilege that they've earned through honorable service.
And the VA is an indispensable part of this program, I assume.
Absolutely.
So that's why it's more exclusive to veterans than non-veterans.
Correct.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Not only that, Gary, you know, when you, and just to kind of compound on what the judge is saying, when you step up to serve the country, you don't earn any additional rights, but you certainly do and should earn a little bit of extra courtesy in a situation. It just, you know, maybe that's not going to sit well with, you know, you're a big flat earth guy for fairness, but
no, I agree with it. I'm just,
there's a lot of sacrifice even in non-combat.
I agree with that.
All right, good.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, we talked about the money that we're saving by not incarcerating people. Well, the other thing about my veterans court is that this veterans court is an additional duty to me. I carry a full criminal division, felony trial division. My prosecutor is Dennis Alsbury, who's a West Point graduate. So I volunteer to do the veterans court. Dennis, as the prosecutor, has been assigned, but it's an additional duty to him. All the public defenders come with their clients. No matter what division they're in, if they get assigned to veterans court, those PDs come with those clients to my veterans court.
Is there another judge in the circuit court in Broward that handles veterans, or just you?
It's just, there's just one division. Wow. I've had Judge Fry and Judge Weinstein have both covered for me when I'm out of town, but I'm the veterans court
That's
judge.
That's a heavy caseload to have, a normal caseload, along with additional veterans court.
Correct.
For the independent.
Correct.
Wow.
So, but the key piece here is that all the treatment that the people receive is through the VA. So it doesn't cost the state of Florida or Broward County or Fort Lauderdale or anybody else an additional dime to get these treatments. So I think that compounds and multiplies the cost savings that you discussed earlier when we opened the show.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're going to have to take a quick break and a station identification. You're listening to Legal News and Review on WSBR 96.9, 103.9, 740 AM. And I want to welcome our iHeart listeners. Tune in at iRadio now. We're speaking with the Honorable Judge Merrigan, who, as far as we're concerned, is the perfect pick to preside over Broward County's Veterans Court because he is a full colonel, a graduate from the U.S. Army War College, and also a decorated veteran from the war in Iraq. And we're going to be coming right back.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Yeah, we are back. Legal News and Review. I'm Philip Bell, the moderator, with legal panel host Gary Singer, Michael Santucci, and Gary Ostro. And we're speaking with the Honorable Judge Edward Merrigan. And this is regarding Veterans Court. And, you know, Judge, two things you shared with me. One is that you stand on many shoulders. And what I mean by that is this is a non-adversarial approach to the justice system, where it's integration of alcohol, drug treatment, mental health. And I understand, unlike, you know, cases that go before you and they get probation, you have a very low, if you will, probation violation. Is that actually the case compared to traditional criminal courts?
I typically don't put people on probation. So it's I do have people on pretrial release.
Right.
I do get some VOPs because they're eligible to transfer into Veterans Court as well.
Are they also not entitled to a bond based on just by virtue of VOP, or do they have entitlements as a result of being in this court that others might not, that aren't for a VOP, for example?
Not for a VOP. They don't have any additional entitlements. So, so typically I'm not going to put somebody on probation. Once the case is open until they graduate from the program. So I'm not going to have the issues with the VOP. I do have people, as I said earlier, on pretrial release. Mm-hmm. And I do have some people that got a VOP on another case that they had pled out or had served in prison time. So once they plea out the case in another division, they can come in, and they have a violation of probation, they can be transferred in for a post-adjudicatory drug
and I think that's
Veterans Court program.
I think that's a division they want to be in when they have a VOP,
yes.
I would suspect.
Yeah, of course. And again, but the key piece here is that if they come in there, they've got to get the treatment, because typically their VOP is dealt with. It's either a new law violation or it's some kind of substance abuse violation.
Technical, dirty urine, you mean.
But exactly. You know, Judge, we talked about it, like in World War II, it was called battle fatigue, and same thing within the Korean War. And you pointed out something very interesting, and I'd like you to educate our audience on your opinion on this, because I think it's a truism. The fact is, this is when the war was over overseas, over there, as it said, they spent, 60 days in a boat to get back.
Right. So you know, I was explaining to you my experience when my combat tour in Iraq ended. You know, we did our left seat, right seat transition of authority to the incoming units. Mm-hmm. We went to Baghdad Airport, flew to Kuwait. We were in Kuwait for 4 days, got on a plane, and flew back to Fort Bragg. So, you know, we were home from combat theater in 9 hours. Whereas, you know, in World War II or in Korea, they're taking a 60-day boat trip. And we're sending people back. I came back with my entire battalion, so we were as a unit as a whole. But a lot of people are being rotated in and out individually or in smaller groups. But, you know, during the Second World War, during Korea, these entire units are on these boats for 30, 40, 50, 60 days. And it's a great unwinding time and an opportunity to hash out a lot of issues with the people that you've served in combat with for the last 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. So I think it's very therapeutic for them to come back and have that decompression time and air some of the grievances with the people that you served in combat with, you know, before you get home to the United States. So it was a benefit to them.
So somebody who might be serving a min-man on a trafficking case who was sentenced before the drug court became active, there's nothing retroactive about it, is there?
No.
Just bad timing.
I guess so. You know, the law came into effect about the same time, maybe a year or two before we started our Veterans Court in Broward County. It was called the T. Patterson-Maney Bill out of the Florida Senate. And T. Patterson-Maney is a county court judge in Okaloosa County. He's also Brigadier General Pat Maney. He was my commanding officer when I was a captain. So I've known Judge Maney for very many years. So really good judge and really good officer.
You know, Judge, you preside over a very successful program. We've also spoken to on the show Judge Tobin Singer about the drug court, which is another successful program. Is there talk or anyone floating the idea of expanding this into for additional people to help?
I talked to Judge Tobin Singer. Her chambers are about two down from mine, so I see her every day. And when she's out, a lot of times I'll cover for her divisions, because we're on the same floor. You know, the unique aspect of the Veterans Court treatment program is that it is all veterans, and all the treatment we receive is through the VA. So mm-hmm. I don't see us expanding it out to anybody else or any other group. So I guess the answer to your question is no. The drug court and the mental health court, which is run by Judge Ari Porth, have both been very, very successful, and those avenues are open for some people to participate. Now, there are certain criteria.
Yeah, we live in a punishment system, but it seems like this therapeutic systems seem to be helping too.
You know,
these ideas.
From my perspective, I just think that there's a real good opportunity to get these, at least from my perspective, these veterans, to get them into this program, get them the help that they need, and then get them back into society without handicapping them with a felony conviction.
Yeah.
Judge, do they have, like the other diversionary programs, do they have a condition where you have to plea or give a statement prior, and then if you violate, they can use it against you?
Absolutely not.
Okay, but they do in other diversion programs.
They do, yes. Yes.
Is there a federal counterpart to Veterans Court?
There is not, not that I'm aware of. And it kind of makes sense. Most of the crimes that the veterans are committing are local.
State law crimes.
Yeah, state law violations. And so it's there is no federal counterpart.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm curious, to wrap it up, you know, when people get in trouble when they're in the military, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, is there diversionary programs, you know, that the JAGs use?
No.
Besides Leavenworth?
There is not, that I'm aware of, a diversionary program. But they do, you know, on small infractions for junior enlisted personnel, so E3 and below, so that would be like a private first class or
a little too much beer.
Yeah, you know, they get in trouble. They utilize what's called non-judicial punishment.
Yeah, which, in-unit.
In-unit. So,
go paint something.
Go count rocks. move that pile of dirt from there to there.
Yeah, I ran a needle gun.
And then move it back.
Exactly.
Paul Newman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I ran a needle gun in the summer.
There you go.
You know, this is the first part of a two-part series, and we're going to be coming back on Wednesday with Judge Merrigan as well. And Judge, before we before Gary Singer actually takes us off the air, if somebody knows somebody that has a situation that maybe they were not given the opportunity of a drug court and so forth, who would they contact? Would it be the Broward Sheriff's Office to say, hey, they're a veteran and you know, they deserve to be considered for this program?
Yeah, the best person to contact would be the individual veteran or their defense counsel, whether they be a public defender or a private defense lawyer, mm-hmm. to let them know that this person is an eligible veteran so that they can bring it up to the state attorney and their division and their division judge so we could get a transfer.
I just want to throw a quick question in because I'm curious. Most of the participants in Veterans Court in custody or out?
Most of them are out of custody. I do have some that are in custody, and the folks that violate pretrial release are in custody, but they can't get the treatment if they're in custody.
Well, Judge Merrigan, we're going to have to wait for next Wednesday. Listen back in to our listeners. Yep. Judge Merrigan, I want to thank you very much, especially as a veteran myself. I want to thank you for helping out our fellow veterans in this way and volunteering a lot of time and effort. And I know it's very appreciated, and thank you. And to our listeners and our veteran listeners and non-veterans alike, I want you to all have a great day. And as always, folks,
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for Legal News and Review. Remember, be legal.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310 or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.